Today on Brave, a lesson from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Paul says when he talks about the gospel, he goes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In order to be saved, it takes the power of God. In case you were thinking, well, it didn't take that for me, I just kind of always believed, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins, and it would only be the power of God that could set you free.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. At any stage of life and upon any journey, feelings of uncertainty and insecurity can be crippling. As Christians wanting to step out into the world and accomplish the will of God, what are we meant to trust? What do we have to rely on to push through our struggles and doubts? Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff reveals the answer. He's showing us who and what we can trust as followers of Christ so that we can go forward in our mission for the gospel. It's part of our brand new series called The Kingdom Embassy, where we're learning how to live by what we believe and really make a difference for God's kingdom. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with the beginning of his message titled, Trust the Gospel.
Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are, and Lord, for all you're doing. And Lord, we just ask today, Lord, that you would specifically speak to each and every one of us, that you have a word for us. And Lord, for what you're going to speak through your Holy Spirit, we give you praise in advance for all that you're going to do. Lord, be helpful to me and be helpful to our church as we listen. And now for all those who are gathered here who desire to hear God speak, who will believe what he says to you and will by faith put into practice what he shows you. Will you agree with me very loudly this morning by saying the word, amen, amen. When I was a youth pastor in Chicago a number of years ago, I remember we did a ropes course one day. Part of the day started out with low ropes course. And in low ropes courses, you're learning team building activities. You're learning a lot about yourself. You're learning a lot about other people, how you communicate, how you don't communicate. It was pretty fun. And then the latter half of the day was a high ropes course. And the high ropes course, it wasn't as much team building as it was learning about yourself. What I learned about myself is I don't like heights. I remember getting on top of basically a large telephone pole that was about 45 feet in the air, and it was called the Leap of Faith, and you had to stand there and then jump from the telephone pole and grab onto some bar that was out there, and you're belayed in, you're totally safe, but my body apparently didn't know that, because when I got up to the top of the telephone pole, my knees just started moving, and I was trying to hold them still, and I'm like, why is it doing that? They said, you're scared. I'm like, I'm not scared, you know, but I was scared, right? So I've learned that I don't like that. I don't like heights, even when I went skydiving. I didn't like it. I just did it to do it once to, quote, get it over with so I could say that I did it. So when we go on vacation, we've been up to South Dakota here the last couple years. My kids always want to do a ropes course. And so I watch because I already know I don't want to do that, because in order to be good at a ropes course, you need to trust the belay that's holding you in, and I don't have any trust in it. I'm old enough now that I don't need to place any trust in it. And you have to decide in life, what is it or who is it that you're going to trust? And the older you get, you'll find the fewer people or the fewer things that you're going to trust, because the longer that you live, the more you realize you've been burned before. So who is it that you can trust? I mean, as Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, he's telling him as a young man to go into the church in Ephesus, not as an elder, not as an apostle, not necessarily even as a pastor, and instruct the elders and the men in the church what they're supposed to be doing. And for Timothy, like many of us, when we come to Christ, it says, like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to exercise the ministry that God has for me? I don't know enough. I'm not old enough. It's why Paul has to write him a second letter and tells him, God did not give you the spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and discipline. Because even for us, after we get saved and God says, hey, get engaged in the game and serve me and do this, there's this something that goes off in our heart, like, who, me? I'm not qualified for that. I mean, look at my past. I don't have the pedigree for that. I don't have the education for that. God can't really use me. Here's the truth. God can use you, and he wants you to know who and what you can trust. And if you ever wanted to serve the Lord in ministry and wanted to know who and what I can trust, God has a word for you today. He wants you to know that you can completely trust him and you can completely trust the gospel and that the gospel can change the world. Amen? So if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to open up to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 12 through 17 today. And as we look at that, remember, Paul has just gotten done instructing Timothy about these false teachers and how they like to go on and on about endless genealogies and myths and blabber about all this stuff they seem like they're experts in, even though they don't even know what they're talking about. And he was saying, let the word of God be central to everything you do. And now Paul is going to give him the understanding of the gospel, not only in the word of God through the Holy Spirit, but his own personal testimony. And as we read through this, and we're going to highlight four reasons why you need to trust the gospel. Listen to what he says. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. And as Paul ends this in a worship, we learn why it is that we can trust the gospel. Why it is that when God calls us to do something, we can trust the gospel. Now, let's be clear on what the gospel is, because if we're going to say gospel, we need to know what gospel means. Gospel simply means this: good news. That's gospel. You can trust in good news. Now, what's the good news? The good news is that God the Father sent his son to be the savior of the world. The good news is God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ. The good news is that God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. The good news is that Christ came and the righteous died for the unrighteous once for all to bring you to God. The good news is this: you're born in sin. You're separated from God. It's why God seems so far away. It's why you do what you want to do. It's why you feel that you don't measure up to God. And yet God loved you so much that before you even knew about it, God sent his only begotten son, who became incarnate flesh to identify with the world. And not only that, he fulfilled all the requirements of the law, which you and I have never kept. And for those of you that say, "Oh, I've kept some of them," let's go back and hear last week's message. You've broken every single one of the Ten Commandments over and over and over and over again. And the law was given in such a way so that we would understand that Christ is righteous and we're not. That he's holy and we're not. That he would be a tutor that would point us to Christ, so that through the law we would become conscious of our own sin and give our lives to Christ. And here's the really, really good news. No matter who you are, whether you're male or female, or regardless of your skin color or nationality or upbringing, Jesus Christ came and he paid the penalty for all your sin, died on a cross and was buried, and rose from the dead, so that you by faith, through repentance and faith, through turning from your sin and turning to Christ, no matter who you are, you can be saved and saved to the full. You can have a relationship with God. You can know that all your sin, past, present, and future, is completely taken care of, and you can have the God of the universe live inside of you. When we talk about the gospel, again, we're not just talking about some facts that you need to believe. We're talking about the fact that when you believe the truth of God's word, that God himself comes to live inside of you. Amen? That's unlike any other promise you're going to hear anywhere in the world. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you four reasons why you need to trust the gospel of Jesus Christ that come right out of the text this morning. The first reason is this: the gospel completely transforms our lives because God is powerful. The gospel completely transforms our lives because God is powerful. Notice how Paul starts. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank him. There's gratefulness going on in Paul's heart, but there's gratefulness not just that Jesus Christ has saved Paul. There's gratefulness that he's saved everybody that he saved up until that point, because he's our Father. He's our Lord. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's our Father who art in heaven. It's not my Father, it's our Father. And Paul is so grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul is going to tell you that he wasn't born into this. And none of us are born into this. All of us are born separated from God into sin. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Now you ask the question, why would God put the Apostle Paul into service? You want the answer? Because everybody God saves, he puts into service. In case you're wondering, I'm thinking about serving. Stop thinking about it and just do it. Right? I mean, everybody that's saved is saved for the purpose of serving Christ's church and advancing his kingdom. Everybody is. There's no sideline Christians. It's not that God will save some and say, hey, they're really gifted, we'll use them, and I'm save others and they go, oh, we can't really use them. No, Paul is thankful because the Lord God who saved him is the one who gave him the strength to do the service for which God has called him to do. And every single person on the planet who has been saved for the purpose of serving in your area of gifting the Church of Jesus Christ for the advancement of the kingdom of God, amen? And so Paul's thanking God for this, because he was strengthened and put into service, even though what? I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Now, what does that mean? A blasphemer is somebody that would do this, speaking boldly against Christ and all the people who believe in him. That's what a blasphemer is. The Bible says that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sin. Well, what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? It means to attribute the works of Jesus Christ to the works of the devil. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to not believe that Jesus is the Christ. You say, well, I was in a time I didn't believe that. Yeah, but you repented of that and you trusted Christ. All sin is forgivable. But if you go to your grave believing that Jesus is not the Christ, that is unforgivable. If you go to your grave believing that Jesus' death on the cross doesn't mean anything personal for you, that's unforgivable. The only unforgivable sin is unbelief. So if you don't believe, you've got to be brought into belief. And Paul says, here's what I was. I was a blasphemer. What did Paul spend his waking hours later in his life doing? Waking up in the morning, speaking bad about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and speaking bad about all of his followers all the time. He was hostile to Jesus and the church. That's who he was. Not only that, he was a persecutor of the church. The word is like a taskmaster or a slave driver. We know from the scriptures that even when Stephen, who gave a great testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and convicted the hearts of the religious leaders of the day, he gave such a good testimony that he was stoned for his faith. When he was stoned for his faith, we see Saul of Tarsus, this Paul that was a young man, all the older men were bringing coats, laying them at his feet so that they could wind up and get a better throw at Stephen. And the Bible says that Saul was giving approval to his death. Now think about this. Paul was persecuting the church. He was on his way when he met the Lord to Damascus to do what? To persecute the church, to drag people out of the church, to have them beaten, to have them whipped, to have them dragged into prison, to have them killed. That's how he spent every day. And notice what else he says. I was a violent aggressor. So if those two things weren't enough, here's what violent aggressor means. Somebody who is brutal, somebody who is rash, somebody who is an executioner, somebody who takes pleasure and delight in seeing other people get hurt. That's what Paul said. So when Stephen is being stoned and Paul's giving approval to his death, he's saying, that's awesome. Now, I've never seen somebody stoned to death. I have seen somebody get beat up before. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody get beat up before. It's brutal to watch somebody get beat up. The Apostle Paul in his pre-Jesus days was watching someone get not only beat up, getting stoned to death, breathing their last, not being able to see straight because they had blood pouring everywhere, and he's saying, that's awesome. That's why Paul says, hey, listen, I understand the power of the gospel. The gospel has the power to transform anybody's life anywhere at any time, amen? Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand on this. This is a rhetorical question, but just think about this for a minute. Do you have anybody in your sphere of influence? Someone that you know, or someone that you know of, that you may not even know, that you would say in your heart, while you might not mouth it out loud, there's no way they would ever come to Christ. God can't save them. Or he could, but he won't. That's the Apostle Paul. Friends, God can save anybody, anywhere, at any time. Why? Because the gospel has power. Power. We're not just dispensing facts, We're dispensing the truth, and in the truth of the gospel, the Holy Spirit brings power and conviction. It's why people get saved. That's why you don't need to fear non-believers when you share with them. Because even if you say, well, they never responded, they heard. The Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's why when you come to church, even as a believer in the gospel, you are still convicted of your sin and God's righteousness, and God is still growing you. That's the power of the Spirit. That's why Paul says when he talks about the gospel, he goes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In order to be saved, it takes the power of God. In case you were thinking, well, it didn't take that for me, I just kind of always believed. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins, and it would only be the power of God that could set you free. Even when Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Here's what non-believers think about Jesus and his cross. Stupid. Dumb. You can't really tell me that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You can't really say that his death on the cross was for everybody. That's silly. That's foolish. That's totally unwise. But the verse goes on to say, but for those of us who are being saved, it's become the power of God. The cross of Jesus is not foolish. It's the power of God. Every person that's ever taken a breath in this world will one day understand that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? But even as Paul talks about his preaching to the Corinthians, he talked about it like this. We talked about last week, those false prophets, they tell stories, they quote books, they talk about genealogies, they try to make themselves look smart. That's not what the Apostle Paul did. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He writes the same thing when he writes to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And I want you to hear this so that you understand what I'm talking about. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he writes it like this. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. That means if we're foolish enough to preach the gospel, that God will do the work he wants to do. Because in John chapter 15, verse 16, he says, for you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you go bear fruit. In case some of you falsely think that you found Jesus, you didn't find him. He had his eye on you long before you ever went looking for him. And the only reason you ever went looking for him was his grace drawing you to himself. It is God that does the work. And when we're faithful in our teaching, we're faithful in our sharing, we're faithful in our proclamation, God saves people. He does it all the time here when we're faithful. I was talking to a friend of ours who was with her daughter on Friday night, who's 8 years old, who I've known since before she was born, goes to our church, who said to me, hey, our girl sat in big church this weekend and she was there and she told me what happened. Sunday night, she goes home and tells her parents, hey, I want Jesus in my life. I want to know that he's real, and accepted Jesus into her life. And my heart starts beating and pounding like, that's what we're all about. Amen. I didn't know God did that. God did that. How did he do that? Through the power of the proclamation of the word of God that reaches the hearts of people. Friends, when you share the gospel, there's a power in your sharing. Yeah, but this guy at work, I mean, he'll never come. You don't know that. My family, they just have so many people. You know, my friends are in. You don't know that. When you start telling the truth, then you have a story. Now, let's talk about testimony for just a second so we know what the power is. When I got saved when I was 18 years old and went off to the University of Illinois, here's what I thought testimony was. Because I went to a ministry and for the first 3 weeks, they gave testimony. And testimony, I thought, my takeaway, nobody ever told me what a testimony was. I grew up in a church, I don't know that we had any, but I thought it was this, based on what I'd heard. Here's all the really, really, really bad things I've done. Then I met Jesus who died and rose, and now my life is miserably boring, but I'm a Christian. And I was like, I don't have that story. I mean, I was a decent kid. I did some stupid things, but I didn't have that really far out story. And so I left after 3 weeks, and here was my thought. I need to go get a testimony because I don't have one. They asked me to give mine. I said, I don't have one. And I went and tried to build one over the course of 3 years. But that wasn't the testimony. The testimony is not the bad things you do. The testimony is what Christ has done. Meaning if you're 4 years old and you've trusted Christ, you have a testimony. And the testimony is not just what he's done. It's what he's going to continue to do in your life. You don't need to go build your testimony in the world. You go build your testimony on Jesus. Amen? So that you can say with all authority, I was, but God, and now. I can tell my testimony in 10 seconds. I was a prideful religious kid that went to church, but God got a hold of my life at Young Life Camp and saved me, and now I live for him. That's my testimony. And I can share that short, or I can spend 3 hours telling you all the nuances of it. But you don't have to know a lot to serve Christ in his kingdom. Think about the blind guy in John chapter 9. What was your testimony? I don't know. All I know, I was blind, now I see, he did it. What else do you need? You don't need to go to seminary to give your testimony. You need to repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And if God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And God will always be ironing those works out until you meet him face to face. There will never come a time where it's all perfect. But the first reason to trust the gospel is he completely transforms lives because our God is powerful. Anybody you see anywhere, at any time, God can save and save to the full. I mean, we don't think about it like this because we think we read our Bible because most of us grew up in the church and we read our Bible like, okay, Saul, he saw Jesus on the way to Damascus and now he's in the church and he's helping people and he went through some really hard times. I mean, it would be like today if the leader of ISIS got saved and started building the church. That's what it's like. That's who he was. That's why Paul's always downplaying himself. He doesn't want to talk about his past life. That's not his testimony. His testimony is that God would have mercy and grace on him. Amen? Our testimony here at the church is not that we have some good people and some bad people and we're all trying to get a little bit better. The testimony here at our church is we're all dead apart from Christ, and some of us have turned our brokenness over to Christ and are being saved, and some of us haven't done that who need to do that. That's the only group of people that are meeting here today. Amen? And here's what God's able to do. In the same way he was able to take the Apostle Paul's life, he's able to take your life and completely transform it. And it's not just facts about the gospel, it's his life in you forever and ever. Amen and amen. Trust him. He transforms lives because he's powerful. Second, I'll give you this reason you need to trust the gospel, because the gospel continues to lavish us in abundance because God is present. He's present. The gospel continues to lavish us in abundance. Notice what the apostle says. He says, he gets done talking about being a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? Even though I lived this way, here's what he said. I lived that way ignorantly and in unbelief. What does that mean? Ignorant means I didn't know. I didn't know. You say, well, what about me? Because I didn't just act in ignorance and unbelief. I knew better and still did it. What about that? What about those of you that are here today that know better, but you're not living for Jesus? Here would be my pastoral call to you. Please repent and trust Christ. He'll meet you right where you are right now. He'll give you a do-over right here in this moment.
You're listening to Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub and the first part of a lesson titled, Trust the Gospel. If you missed any part of today's program or need to catch up on the first message of our new series, The Kingdom Embassy, visit our website, bravemedia.online. You'll be able to listen to all of Pastor Jeff's previous programs there and find new opportunities to grow your community and your faith. And if you're on social media, you can find and connect with our growing online community by searching for Brave Church Denver. We're on most major platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so next time you log on, like and follow us. And as we near the end of today's program, we want to take a moment to invite you and your family to join us for worship this weekend here at Brave Church. If you're listening anywhere in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit in person at our campus in Englewood, or check out our new venue now located in Westminster. If you're listening from out of town or maybe even out of state, you can join us every weekend through our online live stream. Just go to our website at bravemedia.online, then click the button near the bottom of our homepage that says Brave Church for all the details and directions. And in the meantime, if you have a question or encouraging comment to share with Pastor Jeff, reach out. We love hearing from our listeners and take time to read every message we receive. Email us today, hello@bravechurch.co, or send us a note at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. That brings us to the end of today's program. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Glad to have you with us, and I hope you'll make sure to join us tomorrow for part two of today's message, Trust the Gospel. That's next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.